I'd like to spend a few moments talking about one part of that parable and then a few moments talking about the next. We will have a song in between. So the first part that I'd like to talk about is the seed. Jesus, when he told these parables, used very practical stories to represent some very spiritual things. So the first thing that I want to talk about is the seed. And actually, Jesus, or Matthew in his account, or Luke, sorry, in his account of this parable, gives the explanation that Jesus gave straight after it. So we find in verse 4 of our reading, verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed. So this is a farmer sowing the seed, scattering it on the ground. But verse 11 tells us helpfully what that seed was. Verse 11 says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. So the farmer is sowing his seed, represents those who go and share the word of God. So briefly, I just want to explain what is the word of God, what that word of God is. It can encourage us as Christians as to how we can share it. If you don't know what the word of God is, then please listen carefully and I will try and explain in six brief steps. The first one being creation. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 says, God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that's where we begin. God created everything. He made everything and it was perfect. God created a perfect world for us to live in. The second step is sin, the fall. Because of people, that world didn't stay perfect. And in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, we read, verse 10 to 12, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. And that's not a particularly positive reading. But that's the second step. God created a perfect world, but mankind rejected God. Mankind turned their back upon him and rejected him, which is why sin came into the world. The world lost its perfect edge, if you will. But there's another consequence. Death. Death came into the world as well. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The wages of sin is death. Because of sin, people die. People don't die or aren't punished because of their sins, but because there is sin in the world, people die. When God created his perfect world, no one died. Due to sin, people do. But that's not the end of the story. And if we finished with the word of God there, it would be rather a demoralizing outlook upon life. Because there is some fantastic news. The word of God says, and I'm going to go for the very obvious verse, John chapter 3:16. The word of God says, God so loved his world that he sent his only son. For God so loved the world that he gave or sent his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. The word of God says that God created the world, but mankind messed it up. And because of that, death came into the world. But God sent his son to die in our place, to take the punishment that we deserve. Even at that point, the story is a rather demoralizing end with a dying savior. But as we know, Jesus Christ came back from the dead, being the first of all who could be resurrected. Anyone who puts their faith in him need not die either. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. Jesus came back from the dead. Jesus is a risen Savior. He was the first one to conquer death. And therefore, we can too, if we are just trusting in Him. But the Word of God leaves two options. There's two paths to take. In John chapter 3 and verse 36, we find this. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. The Word of God is very clear. God created the world. Mankind messed it up, but as a result of that, death came into the world. God sent His Son to save it. His Son came back from the dead, being the first of all who would no longer have to face death. But He leaves us with two options. One, believe in the Son. Believe that Christ died for your sins and you will have eternal life. That's what the Word of God says. But if you ignore it, if you don't believe in the Word of God, if you don't listen to Jesus, if you don't listen to this good news, you will not have eternal life. And sadly, you will face the wrath of God. And that is the Word of God in a nutshell. That is the seed that was sown as represented in this parable. Creation, fall, death, Savior, resurrection. Two ways to go. There's a lot more in the Word of God, but we haven't got time to go through the whole lot right now. There's also four responses, and we're going to look at those in a few minutes with our prop at hand. Before we do, we have another harvest song that you can't have a harvest service without having. We plough the fields and scatter. So as we've said, the seed represents the Word of God. And the soils represent four paths. That's a bad choice of word. Four options, routes that can be taken. There's only one path. Four routes that can be taken with that Word of God. The path on our board is entirely empty. Verse 5 told us of Luke chapter 8. I'm in the entirely wrong book. Of Luke chapter 8, as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. The seed was sown upon the path. It was too hard. It couldn't enter into the soil, so it was just bird seed, and it sat and the birds came and ate it. In Palestine, in where this story would have been told, the strips of land were, the land was often split into strips with footpaths between them that would have been well trodden. They would have been too hard. The people would have understood what Jesus was talking about. But he went on to explain in verse 12 when he says, "The ones along the path are those who have heard, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved." Jesus says there are some people that will hear the Word of God that will go in one ear and essentially it will go out of the other. They will take in the Word for a briefest of moments and then entirely ignore it. They'll never respond to it. They'll never truly listen to it. They'll never accept it. They may never believe it. In Acts chapter 24, we read an account of Paul, Acts chapter 24 and verse 24, Acts chapter 24 and verse 24, Paul is in custody with Felix in prison, and Felix, who has a rather accurate knowledge of the way, put them off, saying, "When Lysias the tribune comes down, I will decide your case. I will decide your case." Then he gave orders to the centurion that he should be kept in custody, that Paul should be kept in custody, but have some liberty. None of his friends should be prevented from attending to his needs. After some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. He reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment, and Felix was alarmed and said, "Go away for the present. "When I get an opportunity, I will summon you." At the same time, he hoped that money would be given to him by Paul. He sent for him often and conversed with him. When 2 years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. Desiring to do the Jews a favour, Felix left Paul in prison. Felix heard the word of God time and time again from Paul, and it never took root. Really, he wanted Paul to pay his way out of prison, but it never happened. Felix just ignored the word of God, and it's a bit like the people that hear the word of God and just ignore it. They don't listen to it, they don't take it in. It's instantly snatched away by the devil. If you feel like that's you, it's important to recognize that. It's important to take in God's word because it is a matter of life and death. If you've heard the word of God many times before, and today is the first time that you're really listening, then listen carefully, remember it, take it in. So that was the path. The second type of soil is the rocky ground, and this would have had some soil, but stones mixed amongst it. And verse 6 of Luke chapter 8 told us, "Some of it fell on the rock. As it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture." The rocky ground would have had less soil by nature and therefore less water inside it. It grew quickly, but then withered away. It had no root. It had no substance. Verse 13 tells us, "The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a little while, but in a time of testing, fall away." Plants that grow on rocks may grow quickly, but will also die quickly, die away quickly. Their roots can't penetrate the earth, so they get no goodness. They get no moisture. If you go to the patio out the back, and I'm sure there's no weeds on our patio here at Kesgrove Baptist Church, but if you were to find one, you'd be able to pick it up quickly because the roots wouldn't have taken root into the ground. And this is like, Jesus says, the person that hears the word of God and seems excited at first. They hear of salvation, they hear of an eternal life, and they seem really passionate at first. But they haven't really embraced the word of God. They haven't really embraced the hope that's going on. They're not really truly interested in it. It lasts as long as it takes them to find something else to be interested in, or until the first difficulty arises, or they get to the first bit in the Bible that they don't understand, and then they just give up, move on to the next thing. It's important, isn't it, to recognize that some people just need a bit more encouragement to stay carefully upon the way, to keep interested, to keep passionate about God's word. It's important to recognize in yourself not to fall away as well, not to face the first hurdle and give up on your faith. The third soil is like that of the thorns. And we read in verse 7, "Some of the seed fell among thorns. The thorns grew up with it and they choked it." I remember several years ago, my brother-in-law had a big garden, and the person before it had pigeons, I think it was. And he got some topsoil off a friend who was a farmer. And we spent a while wheelbarrowing it into his garden, and he then seeded it with grass. And grass grew, but so did all manner of other things that had been in the soil that this chap had taken off one of his fields. Probably in a field, they wouldn't have been weeds, but in the situation of a nice lawn, you didn't appreciate bits of wheat growing up at random throughout the next few years. If you sowed seed on weedy ground, they would both grow together. But so often the weeds take all the goodness. The weeds interrupt the growing of the good thing. And that's what Jesus says this is like. He says in verse 14, "As for those that fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. They hear the word, they take it in, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not matter." It's easy, isn't it, to hear the word of God and to take it in. It's easy to come to church on a Sunday and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, entirely forget about it because you're at work, because family life is busy, because there's other entertainment, there's other pleasures in life. So easy to let those things distract you, to take you away from the word of God, to give you no time to spend reading, no time to spend in prayer, no time to spend with fellowship with other Christians. But slowly, even the good time you have can be eroded by those things as they come and they take the word of God away effectively. Now, I'm a believer that if you are saved, you are truly saved. But there are those who appear to be saved, who have made a profession of faith, but actually aren't fully trusting in it, aren't fully prepared to devote their lives to God. The people in this soil of the weeds over here care more about life's pleasures. They care more about this world than they do God. It's important to recognize if that's us, to be careful. Finally, we get the good soil. Finally, we get where we want to be. And actually, in the farm that I made, it's probably the biggest part. But in reality, this is probably one of the smaller groups of people. Verse 8 told us this. Some fell, some of this seed, some of God's word fell onto the good soil, and it yielded 100-fold. As plants grow, if you take just wheat, one kernel of wheat will grow into one plant that has an ear with loads more on it. The seed of this farmer grew and flourished and provided more seeds or more to eat. What does Jesus say? In verse 15, he says, "For that in the good soil, they are those who hear the word, they hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." Now, I have never been much of a farmer or grower of anything. I did once get a pack when I went on a school trip to France in year 7 with various seeds in it. Not a lot grew apart from a mint plant and potatoes. But the trouble with those two things is that no matter what I did, every year the mint plant grew bigger and bigger and the potatoes came up because I never truly got them all out of the ground. I've since learnt there's other ways to do that properly. But those things grew and grew for year after year. I haven't lived in the house for 20 years, but I feel sorry for the person who's still digging up potatoes out of his lawn to this day. It appears that people who grow courgettes always end up with far too many of those. Some seeds grow and produce massive crops. And that's what Jesus is referring to as he talks about the good soil. He's talking about those who hear the word of God, those who take it in and it takes deep root into their hearts. They love it, they cherish it, they're amazed by what God has done for them. And they grow. They grow in their faith. They grow as Christians. And therefore, in turn, they produce more seed that can be sown amongst the world. And in fact, those good seeds grow and in turn become the sower themselves. We have these four types of soil, and there's only one that's truly good. The one that takes in this word, this wonderful hope that we have, believes it, trusts it, shares it themselves. Who was the sower? Well, originally, I think Jesus was the sower. He was the one who took the word of God at this time and spread it. But then his disciples became the sowers. They were told to go into all the world and tell the good news. What about now? Surely that's us who are faithfully trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. We should in turn take upon that mantle and become the sower ourselves, telling people the good news of Jesus Christ. We don't need to become despondent. We're told in Scripture that some people won't listen. That's sad. But we should still carry on, because some of that seed that we sow will land upon good soil, will take deep root in people's hearts, and in turn make them grow. I want to close with one more brief parable that Jesus told, this time in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24 to 30. The parable of the weeds. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while he was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds amongst the wheat and went away. When the plants came up and bore grain, the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house said, "Master, did we not sow good in your field? How come there's weeds?" And he said, "An enemy has done this." So his servants said, "Do you want us to go and gather the weeds?" He said, "No, because in gathering the weeds, you will pull up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn." Another picture of two choices. Everyone on this world grows together. Those who are saved and those who aren't. But one day there will be a day of judgment, that day of harvest as represented here, where God will gather into his barn, into heaven, those who are trusting in him. And the others will be cast aside. We don't know when that day will be, but we do know it's not yet. It might be 5 minutes, it might be 5 hours, it might be 5 days, it might be 500 years. We don't know. The only time we can guarantee is now, the only time that we have to turn to Jesus, to ask him to forgive us of our sins, to trust that he will forgive us of our sins, the only time that we can guarantee is now. So if you've never done that before, please think carefully about it. And with that, I close. Thank you, particularly children, for listening so nicely, or at least being quiet. Thank you. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for all the good things you do for us. Lord, I thank you above all for your word and the wonderful hope contained within. Lord, I pray it will be very real to us today. In your wonderful name. Amen.